The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, verse 8, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And chapter 1 and 2 go hand in hand. We're going to focus on chapter 1. Oh, I'll say a word about authorship. My Bible, it says the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. And at times there's questions of whether Paul wrote Hebrews. And I don't care. Honestly, I used to think, Paul wrote it. And I don't have an opinion on this matter. To me, it's irrelevant. I accept it as part of the canon. It doesn't matter, you know, and it's one of the books in which it matters least. Because no one claims authorship within the book. So obviously, they didn't care much if it was known who wrote it. And maybe they wanted to hide it. I mean, when I look at the very last chapter, the last couple of verses, gosh, that reminds me of Paul. It reminds me of some of the other apostles, too. The greetings were probably very standard. So it doesn't matter. Except that it was probably written by one of the apostles, certainly. If not Paul, I don't know who. But it's a very ancient book accepted by Christians everywhere. I don't think there's anything controversial about it. It is a great book of doctrine. And we'll just dive right in. So God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner, at different times and in different ways, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. The lesser prophets, the greater prophets, the former prophets, the latter prophets. And you read about prophets from the books of Kings. And, Moses also was a prophet. And, there were many prophets along the way who spoke to the different kings, who wrote books, some who didn't write books. But God spoke to man by the mouth of his prophets. But now, in these last days, literally in Greek it means at the end of these days, at their days, at the time of the prophets, at the end of the time of the prophets, when the times of the prophets had come to a close, God spake to them by his Son, more than a prophet. The final prophet being John the Baptist. But the Son of God is whom God has now spoken to man by. And he has appointed him heir of all things. And he also made the worlds by him. A lot of this in Hebrews 1 establishes in Christianity what we understand Christ to be. He made the worlds. By him he made the world. You know, in the book of the Gospel of John, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we understand the Word to be, you know, everyone understands it to be Christ. He is the Word. It is something that is a label that's put on him in the Scriptures. And it's interesting because, you know, Jesus said, I came forth and proceeded from God. But as we're going to learn in Hebrews, Jesus, like Melchizedek, is without father or mother, without beginning of days or end of life. If he has no beginning, how does he come forth from God? Because he is the Word of God. He comes out from God. But God is not was never a baby where he would have a moment in time in his early stages where he'd never spoken. Because God doesn't have early stages. So the Word of God, though it comes forth from God, it is as much a part of God, and it is as eternal as God. That's why Christ is likened to his Word. He is said to be his Word. The Word is external from the Father himself, meaning the Word goes out from the person. And your words, though they are you and they represent you, they stand separate from you. In a sense, they can stand separately. They can take on a life of their own. And so the Son of God is related to the Father in that way. He comes forth from God. He is, you know, out from the Father. You know, he created the worlds, you know, by the Word of God, God created the worlds. And that's how the Son of God stands. He is as much God as God. But he has another aspect. And I always use hesitation because I always like to just simply rest on what the Scripture says of him without trying to add clarification for the sake of my own ignorance. And that's why, you know, people like to talk about the Trinity and so on and so forth, and I don't, because